This deep dive, this one's going to be tough.
Yeah.
We're looking into the Laken Riley case,
Right.
a story that's just tragically resonated across the nation. I
It
mean,
has.
you probably remember it from the headlines, a young woman, a promising future cut short.
Yeah.
We've got court documents, news reports, family statements, really the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to make sense of it all,
Wow.
piece by piece.
Yeah, it's crucial to acknowledge the weight of this case. You know, a real family is at the heart of this, and every detail we discuss, you know, it carries that gravity with it. Our goal is to be sensitive,
Right.
but also thorough. We want to understand how this happened, what it means for all of us, and what Laken's legacy might become.
Right. It's about more than just the headlines, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where do we even begin with a story like this?
Right.
I think getting to know Laken Riley herself feels important.
I agree. I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Laken was 22 years old, a nursing student at Augusta University in Athens, Georgia. She was very involved in her community, an active member of the Alpha Chi Omega sorority, and a graduate of River Ridge High School in Woodstock, Georgia.
I read she was on the cross-country team in high school.
She was.
Yeah, it makes you think about what she could have accomplished.
Absolutely. Her life was filled with potential,
Yeah.
and that potential was tragically cut short on February 22nd, 2024.
That's the date that sticks in everyone's minds,
Yeah.
right? The day she went for a morning run at the University of Georgia and never came home.
Yeah.
It just.
A day that'll never be forgotten.
Yeah.
It happened in broad daylight, sometime between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Laken's body was found in Oconee Forest Park behind Lake Herrick. The official cause of death was blunt force trauma and asphyxiation.
The details are just horrific. And then there's the chilling fact that her phone actually dialed 911 during the attack. That must have
Yeah.
been a key piece of evidence for investigators.
It absolutely was. That 911 call, along with the location and circumstances, led UGA police to believe that this was a crime of opportunity likely perpetrated by someone acting alone. This is the first on-campus murder at UGA since 1983, which really heightened the shock and fear surrounding the case.
Understandably so.
Okay.
Now, this is where the story takes another turn because the man eventually arrested and convicted for Laken's murder, Jose Antonio Ibarra, was in the country illegally. Can you shed some light on his background?
Sure. Jose Antonio Ibarra, a 26-year-old Venezuelan man, entered the United States illegally in September 2022. He crossed the border near El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
And while he was initially apprehended, he was later released into the U.S.
So, despite being caught at the border, he ended up in Georgia, living just a mile from where Laken was murdered.
That's right.
That's unsettling, to say the least.
It is, and it raises a lot of questions about the effectiveness of our immigration system.
Yeah.
But what's even more concerning is that Ibarra had multiple run-ins with the law before this tragedy.
Okay.
He was arrested in New York, but released before ICE could detain him.
Wow.
There was a warrant out for his arrest in Georgia from a shoplifting case. And get this, he and his brother were arrested for theft in Athens. Yet both were released despite having stolen goods from Walmart.
Wow, so many red flags, so many missed opportunities to potentially intervene.
It's true.
Makes you wonder what could have been different. But how did investigators connect Ibarra to Laken's murder specifically? There had to be some hard evidence.
There was. A jacket was found in a dumpster near Ibarra's apartment, and forensic analysis revealed Laken's hair on it.
Yeah.
His own roommate identified Ibarra from surveillance footage as the person who discarded the jacket.
I can see how that would be a huge breakthrough for
It
investigators.
was, and it gets worse. When police questioned Ibarra, they observed red knuckles and scratches on his arms, further incriminating him.
Oh, wow.
This, combined with the other evidence, led to his arrest for Laken's murder.
Okay, so the arrest was made. What happened next? Take us through the legal process.
All right, so on May 8th, 2024, a Clark County grand jury indicted Ibarra on 10 charges, including felony murder, malice, murder kidnapping with bodily injury, and aggravated assault with intent to rape. He pleaded not guilty to all charges, and bail was denied.
10 charges, a not guilty plea, and no bail. This was obviously heading for a big trial.
It was a huge case. The trial, which began on November 15th, 2024, was a focal point for national attention. Ibarra's defense attempted to move the trial to a different county
Okay.
due to the massive media coverage, arguing it would be impossible to find an impartial jury.
Did that work?
The judge denied the request. Interestingly, Ibarra chose to waive his right to a jury trial and opted for a bench trial, meaning the judge alone would decide his fate.
That's a bold move. You'd think he'd want a jury of his peers to weigh the evidence.
You would think so. It's an unusual choice, and legal experts debated its wisdom. However, the prosecution had some extremely strong evidence, most notably DNA evidence.
Okay.
They found Ibarra's DNA under Lakin's fingernails and his fingerprints on her phone.
That's pretty damning.
It was practically irrefutable. And so on November 20th, 2024, the judge found Ibarra guilty on all 10 charges. The sentence, life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Wow, so there's a sense of legal justice served. But I imagine for Lakin's family, nothing can truly bring her back.
You're right. While the legal proceedings concluded with a conviction, the Riley family's pain was far from over. This is a family that had to bury their daughter, a young woman who was just starting her life. Lakin's funeral was held on March 1st, 2024 in Woodstock. She's buried at Enon Cemetery.
And beyond the immediate family, this case clearly had a much wider impact, didn't it?
Yes.
It became a flashpoint in the national conversation about immigration.
It did. The fact that Ibarra was in the country illegally and had repeatedly slipped through the cracks of the justice system fueled a very heated debate. This wasn't just a local tragedy. It became a national story with political implications.
Okay, so we've got this tragic murder, a complex legal case, and now the issue of immigration is front and center. I'm starting to see how this story becomes so much bigger than just one crime.
That's exactly right. This deep dive is about piecing together those different layers, understanding how they connect and what they tell us about ourselves as a society. Mm-hmm. And we're only scratching the surface here.
I think that's a good place to pause for now. We've laid the groundwork, but there's so much more to unpack, especially the reactions to this case and the legislative fallout.
Definitely. This story is far from over. It's interesting how this case, you know, became a symbol in the national conversation about immigration.
Right.
You know, some people saw it as a prime example of why we need stricter border control.
Right.
And stricter enforcement of existing laws. Others focused on the need for broader immigration reform, a more humane and comprehensive approach.
It's almost as if Lakin's case became a mirror.
Right.
Reflecting the existing divisions in our country.
Exactly. And those divisions were amplified.
Yeah.
By the way, politicians used Lakin's name and her story.
Right.
You may remember how Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a vocal advocate for stricter immigration policies, shouted Lakin's name during President Biden's State of the Union address.
Yeah, that moment went viral. I remember thinking this is going to get messy.
It did. President Biden, in response, referred to Ibarra as an illegal, which drew criticism from some who felt the language was dehumanizing.
Right.
He later expressed regret for using that specific term, but the damage was done. The case was now firmly entrenched in the political battleground.
It makes you wonder what Lakin's family must have felt through all of this, seeing their daughter's story become a political football.
They've shown incredible strength and resilience. Rather than retreating from the public eye, they've spoken openly about their daughter, sharing stories about her kindness, her spirit, her passion for nursing. They even declined an invitation to attend the State of the Union, choosing to focus on honoring Lakin's memory in their own way.
It's heartbreaking, but also inspiring to see them channel their grief into something positive.
Absolutely. In fact, they established the Lakin Hope Riley Foundation in her honor.
Oh.
It's dedicated to supporting causes close to Lakin's heart, like providing scholarships for aspiring nurses and advocating for community safety initiatives. It's a testament to their love for Lakin and their desire to create something meaningful out of tragedy.
So in a way, Lakin's legacy lives on through this foundation.
Yes, and through their advocacy work. Lakin's parents became vocal advocates for changes to immigration laws, pushing for stricter enforcement and increased border security. Their efforts, combined with the national attention on the case, led to the introduction of a new bill, the Lakin-Riley Act.
Yes. That's the legislation that mandates federal detention of undocumented immigrants who commit certain crimes.
That's the key provision, yes.
Yeah.
It was specifically designed to prevent individuals who pose a potential threat to public safety, like Ibarra, from being released back into communities. It also gives states the power to sue the federal government if they believe it's failing to enforce existing immigration laws.
So it's aimed at closing those loopholes that allowed Ibarra to slip through the cracks, despite all those red flags we discussed earlier.
Exactly. It's a direct response to the perceived failures of the system that ultimately contributed to Lakin's death.
What's been the reaction to the bill so far? Seems like a controversial piece of legislation.
It is the Lakin-Riley Act, passed in the House of Representatives with a surprising level of bipartisan support.
Wow.
But it's facing more resistance in the Senate, where concerns have been raised about potential overreach and the possibility of racial profiling.
Ah. So even a tragedy like this can't escape the gridlock of our political system.
It's a reminder that even when there's a shared desire for change, the path forward is rarely clear-cut. There are always competing interests, different interpretations of what justice looks like, and a complex web of legal and political considerations to navigate.
It makes you realize that these issues aren't as simple as they're sometimes portrayed in the media.
Exactly. It's easy to get swept up in the emotional current of a story like this, but the truth is often far more nuanced. There are no easy answers or quick fixes when it comes to something as complex as immigration policy.
It feels like we're dancing around the edges of a much bigger conversation here. One about how we balance individual rights with public safety, how we define justice, and how we address the root causes of tragedies like this.
You're hitting the nail on the head. That's the heart of what this deep dive is all about.
I think our listeners are starting to see how a single event can send ripples through an entire society. We started with Lakin's story, but now we're grappling with these much larger questions.
And those questions don't have easy answers. But wrestling with them, examining them from different angles, that's where the real learning happens.
I couldn't agree more. It's about pushing ourselves to think beyond the headlines and engage with the complexities of the world around us.
That's what Lakin's story challenges us to do, to look closer, to ask harder questions, to demand better from ourselves and our leaders.
It's hard to wrap your head around everything we've covered. You know,
yeah.
This case has so many layers, so much pain. But one thing that keeps coming back to me is this idea of consequences. You know,
right.
We see the devastating consequences for Lakin and her family, of course.
Of course.
But there are other consequences, too, right?
Yeah.
Rippling outward, impacting the community, sparking this whole debate about immigration and justice.
That's a really powerful observation. It's like a stone thrown into a pond. The ripples just keep spreading.
Yeah.
And those ripples force us to confront some uncomfortable truths about our own society, you know?
Right.
What are our values when it comes to safety, justice, and how we treat those who come to our country?
Yeah, it's easy to simplify all these issues, right?
Right.
Point fingers, demand quick fixes. But
exactly.
This case shows how complicated it all really is.
Right. There's this very human tendency to look for those easy answers, to try to categorize things as good or bad, right or wrong.
Yeah.
But life, and especially a story like this, resists those simple labels. Mm. We're left with this messy, heartbreaking reality, and it demands a deeper level of engagement from all of us.
We can't just turn away from the messiness, can we? It feels like that's what Lakin's family is challenging us to do, to confront the hard questions, even if there are no easy answers.
Absolutely. They're urging us to look beyond the headlines, beyond the political rhetoric, to see the human cost of these complex issues and to engage in those difficult conversations about how we move forward as a society.
Earlier, you talked about the Lakin Riley Act, the legislation that came about in response to this case. It's meant to prevent similar tragedies.
Right.
But it's also sparked a lot of controversy. What are some of the arguments for and against the act?
Well, proponents of the act argue that it's a necessary step to protect public safety. They say it closes loopholes that allow dangerous individuals like Ibarra to remain in communities despite multiple offenses. They also believe it empowers states to hold the federal government accountable for enforcing immigration laws.
So from their perspective, it's about preventing future tragedies and ensuring accountability. What about those who oppose the act? What are their concerns?
Critics worry about the potential for racial profiling and the erosion of due process rights.
Mm-hmm.
They argue that the act could lead to the detention of individuals based solely on their immigration status, even if they pose no real threat to public safety. They also raise concerns about the cost of increased detention and the strain it could put on an already overburdened immigration system.
So it's a delicate balance, isn't it? Weighing the need for security against the importance of individual rights.
Exactly. There's no simple solution. And that's why this debate is so heated. It forces us to grapple with some very fundamental questions about what kind of society we want to be.
It feels like we've come full circle back to that idea of consequences.
Yeah.
Every action, every decision, every law has consequences that ripple outward, touching countless lives.
And it's our responsibility as citizens to engage with those consequences, to examine them critically, and to demand solutions that are both effective and just.
As we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from this conversation?
I hope they walk away with a renewed sense of the complexity of these issues. There's a tendency to oversimplify, you know, to reduce everything to sound bites and slogans. But the Lakin Riley case, with all its nuances and heartbreak, challenges us to dig deeper, to engage with the gray areas, to resist the urge for those easy answers.
Well said. This case has been a stark reminder that even amidst tragedy, there's an opportunity for learning, for growth, for meaningful change. It's up to all of us to seize that opportunity and work towards a future where tragedies like this become less likely, not more. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.